Today is the 25th and last Sunday after Pentecost. You can find that in your Missal on the 24th and last Sunday after Pentecost. It is also the feast of St. Cecilia, the Virgin and the great martyr of the faith, and she is the second oration in the Mass today. The epistle for the last Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, we cease not to pray for you and to beg that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of God in all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the power of his glory, in all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 24. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When you shall see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand. Then they that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains. And he that is on the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not go back to take his coat. And woe to them that are with child, and that nurse in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, or on the Sabbath. For there shall be then great tribulation, such as has not been found from the beginning of the world until now, neither shall be. And unless those days had been shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' do not believe him. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If they therefore shall say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go ye not out. Behold, he is in the closets, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east, and appeareth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the body shall be, there shall the eagles also be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be moved. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the heavens to the utmost bounds of them. And from the fig tree learn a parable. When the branch thereof is now tender, and the leaves come forth, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see all these things, know ye that it is nigh, even at the doors. Amen, I say to you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. In all these things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. These words are taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 5. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear friends, something that many Americans do not know, and a historical fact that children are not taught in many schools today, is that our first and greatest president is responsible for the Thanksgiving holiday that we will celebrate this coming Thursday. For it was not the Pilgrims, nor was it Abraham Lincoln. It was George Washington who first made this day of thanks a national event. 231 years ago, on October 3rd, 1789, President George Washington signed a proclamation in which he instituted the first National Thanksgiving Day. In this proclamation, President Washington declared that Thursday, November 26th, 1789, be set aside to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all good, that was, that is, and that will be. This is to be a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, Washington proclaimed, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God. In other words, President Washington encouraged the American people to give thanks. To give thanks to Almighty God, their greatest benefactor, for the many blessings that he had bestowed upon them and upon the newly formed United States of America. But even before this proclamation in 1789, George Washington understood the importance and the value of gratitude. During the Revolutionary War, he would order special Thanksgiving services for his troops after successful battles. And he would publicly endorse efforts by the Continental Congress to proclaim days of thanks, usually in recognition of military victories. It was thus that George Washington strove to instill in the hearts of the American people a true spirit of gratitude. I would like now to tell you about another American, a little boy, who truly understood the importance of gratitude. Some years ago, during the week preceding Thanksgiving Day, a certain second grade teacher thought that it would be appropriate to see which of her students knew the true meaning of the holiday. And so she came up with a little competition. She instructed her young students to draw a picture of what best represented the spirit of Thanksgiving. On the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, all the youngsters came to class with their picture. Each child, as you can imagine, was brimming with excitement, believing that his picture would be the one to win the competition. As the teacher collected the various pictures, some of the children pleaded their case by explaining to her how his picture best expressed the meaning of Thanksgiving. Well, once all the pictures were collected, the teacher began going through them. There were, of course, a number of turkeys of various sizes, shapes, and even colors. There were a few footballs and football players in there as well. One girl drew a whole Thanksgiving dinner table, sparing no detail, from the glass of wine at her father's place at the table to the family dog eating turkey scraps off the floor. Then there was a picture of a lump of stuffing. The boy who drew it explained that stuffing is the best reminder of what Thanksgiving is all about because it calls to mind all the stuff of which we should be grateful for. Eventually, the teacher came to a drawing of a large hand, and she was quite unsure what a hand had to do with Thanksgiving, and so she wanted to find out. So, seeing Charlie's name at the top of the paper, she asked him what the hand stood for. "Well, teacher," Charlie said, "Mom said that we should always be grateful to the hand that blesses us. The hand that blesses us," he said, "is God's hand. God gives us everything we need, and so we have to thank him. Mom taught me to roll out of bed in the morning onto my knees," Charlie continued, "and say my morning prayers. And right after I finished my prayers, Mom told me to think of 5 things to be grateful for. 1 for each finger on God's hand. Then stretching out his own small hand and counting on his fingers, Charlie began to explain what he was grateful for. This morning, he said, I was thankful for being alive, for my mom, for my dad, for my house, and for my dog. Yesterday, I was thankful for my clothes and my bed, that I can walk and talk, and for my yellow bulldozer. As the teacher listened to the litany of things that Charlie was grateful for, she was impressed at how truly grateful this little boy was. She was equally impressed that something so simple as a hand reminded the boy of the importance of giving thanks. And so the teacher then used this as an opportunity to teach the class. She instructed all the students to take out a piece of paper and to trace their hand on it. She then asked them to label the hand God's hand, and afterward, she directed them to think about 5 things they were grateful for, and to write 1 of these on each finger of the hand. It was thus in this way that this teacher hoped to instill in her students the importance of gratitude and to fill their Thanksgiving day with the spirit of thankfulness. Gratitude, my dear friends, was important to our first president, George Washington. It was part of that little second grader's life. And it is a most precious virtue in the eyes of God. It is important in the estimation of men, yes, to a certain extent. But how greatly God cherishes it. We get an idea of just how much God values gratitude in the Gospel of St. Luke. In the 17th chapter of that Gospel, we read the account of our Lord curing 10 lepers and how only 1 of them returned to thank him. The other 9 forgot. They forgot about the one who had given them such a tremendous gift, and they didn't return to thank him. Our Lord took note of this. He noticed it. For on seeing that one leper return, he asked him, "Were not 10 made clean? Where are the 9? There is no one found to return and give glory to God but this stranger." How this ungratefulness hurt the heart of Christ. But sadly, this is not the only time our divine Savior was forced to lament the ingratitude of mankind. When he appeared to St. Margaret Mary in the latter 17th century, he again pointed out man's ingratitude to him in words all too familiar. "Behold this heart," he said, "which has so loved men that it has spared nothing, even to exhausting and consuming itself in order to testify its love. But in return," he said, "in return, I receive from the greater part only ingratitude." How important it is, then, that we foster this virtue. Even the saints realized the necessity of being grateful. St. Paul, in particular, considered the virtue of gratitude to be so important that in more than half of his epistles, he exhorts his readers to practice it. "In all things," he writes to the Thessalonians, "give thanks." And in another place, he says, "We are bound to give thanks always to God." And you know, St. Paul understands probably better than most people how much we have to be thankful for. He knew what a great blessing it was to possess the gift of the true faith, for he himself received the gift of faith as an adult. He knew what a wonderful privilege it is to be able to attend the Mass and receive true sacraments, for he did so at a time when persecution was raging. And he, that is Saint Paul, who was imprisoned, beaten, and scourged, who was shipwrecked, stranded, and starved, he also knew how valuable the crosses, the trials, and the difficulties of this life are, and how they are truly blessings in disguise. And so he always gave thanks to God in all things, good and bad. Let us, my dear friends, we who have been blessed with the one true faith, and so much more, let us this coming Thanksgiving Day and every day, let us count our blessings. And let us give Almighty God the heartfelt thanks he deserves. You know, it's kind of sad, but many people in our day and age do not fully understand the purpose of Thanksgiving Day as intended by George Washington. Sadly, they do not look upon it as a day of thanksgiving and prayer, as Washington pointed out. A day to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God. In fact, I once came across a poll that was taken to discover the first thing that people think about when they hear the words Thanksgiving Day. Sadly, only 9% of the people polled thought about giving thanks. 9%. And I actually found this quite ironic, for 9% is about 1/10 of the number of people who participated in the poll. And it was only 1 out of 10 lepers that returned to thank our Lord after he cured them. Let us then be part of that 1/10, that 9%. Let us foster a spirit of thankfulness that lasts not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day. Each day of the year, we should thank Almighty God for what he has given us. Let us form a habit of thanking him, and a habit as well of thanking our benefactors here on this earth. Charlie's mother taught him a very simple but effective practice to cultivate the virtue of gratitude. And it is a practice that we ought to imitate in our daily lives. Let us make it a point each day, whether in the morning after our prayers or at some other point throughout the day, even in the evening with our prayers. Let us make it a point to pause and reflect and to come up with a list of 5 things for which we are grateful. These can be some of the most sublime blessings and gifts, or they can be some of the simplest things in life. The grace of having the one true faith in this age of confusion and turmoil. The availability of the Mass and the sacraments at a time when they are so scarce. Our chapel here is extremely blessed. Yes, our time schedule does change, especially in recent months. We have to set up and take down. We have Mass in a convention center. But we have the Mass. We have chapels throughout the country that get Mass once a month, that get Mass once every other month, maybe twice a month. We get it almost every Sunday. What a blessing we have here. Our family, our home, our country, those are blessings from Almighty God. The blessings in disguise our trials and our sorrows, things which God always uses to draw a greater good from. We can go on and on enumerating a list of things to be grateful for. There are so many things. May we, as a certain author beautifully puts it, may we daily reflect upon our present blessings, of which every man has plenty, not on our past misfortunes, of which all men have some. And may the Blessed Virgin Mary, she who made the most perfect acts of thanksgiving, may she obtain for us the grace always to realize how truly blessed we are. And may she assist us in cultivating a spirit of gratitude, so that one day we may have the glorious privilege of thanking Almighty God in person in the never-ending bliss of heaven. God bless you. May you all have a very happy Thanksgiving. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.